this information or even the book that we want to share today, we want to learn something. How we keep the holiness and also rebuild the image of the church and be a good witness in this community. Today the topic is about church discipline, excommunication. Wow, I don't think many people like this term or really want to practice this, you know, in the church. Excommunication, church discipline. Nobody like this, right? But Paul, yes, Paul in chapter 5, he start this topic, he deal with the whole church about this problem. Maybe in January, for the last 5 sermons, maybe you know a little bit about Paul, the relationship between Paul and this church. Quite tension, right? They misunderstood Paul, a lot of things, and also challenged Paul's authority and his teaching. But even about that, Paul is still mentioned this issue in this church about the sin, adultery. Actually, when Paul mentioned this problem or issue, it created more tension or misunderstanding or challenge between Paul and the church. But Paul still mentioned this issue clearly, publicly. Why? There's a problem I need to deal with this morning. Why Paul need to insist to deal with it? If you have time to read through the whole chapter, actually, Paul didn't highlight too much about the details, the sin of this sinner. If I write the letter, I will write a lot of things to condemn this sinner. They commit adultery, right? With the stepmom. It's a very serious sin. But interesting, Paul didn't mention too much or condemn this sinner. Paul used a lot of portion and describe the serious problem of the whole church. Yes, this sinner commit a serious sin. Adultery, and live with the sexual relationship with the stepmom. It is a very serious sin. But Paul highlight more detail about the problem of this church. The problem is the church or congregation know this problem very well, but nobody take any action. They pretend nothing happened. Nobody take any action. So Paul, very frustrated, not about the sinner, not only about the sinner, he commit adultery or live with the stepmom. He's more concerned about the whole church. Why? Nobody say anything. Why? He's concerned not only about the sinner, but about the church, the holiness of the church. It's also a topic we would like to highlight this morning. We talk about excommunication or church discipline. Maybe we need to recall what Jesus teach in Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, 15 to 17. Let's read together. Thank you. There are 3 steps. If someone sins against you, talk with him personally. Level 1. Level 2. If he do not repent or against any discipline, so ask 1 or 2 brothers and sisters go with you and deal with it with some witness. If he insists to refuse to change, and the last level, the third level, is go to the church, the whole congregation deal with it. And give him some signal and discipline and let him repent. And that's the 3 step was touched by Jesus personally and with some witness. And then the last step is with the whole congregation. So not every discipline need to call AGM or whole congregation to deal with it. It's 3 steps. The last step is call the whole congregation to let him know or let you know it is a very serious problem. We need to face it together or take some action to help he or she to get away the sin or sinful lifestyle. This is what Jesus taught about. So when we talk about the church discipline or excommunication about in church, Paul is based on the teaching of Jesus. So not everyone need to call AGM, but there are three purposes Paul wants us to know about church discipline or how to do it. First one, from verse 1 to 5. Why we need to do the church discipline? The first important thing is for the good of sinner. For the good of sinner, restoration. For the good of the sinner, the restoration. From verse 1 to 2. Let's read together. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Thank you. Paul didn't hear any rumor or any news from someone, but it is really a report. He know what happened in the church, so we need to deal with it. What's happened in the church? That someone has a sexual relationship with the stepmom. Actually, in Old Testament, it's already stated it's forbidden. You can talk about this in the Sunday school with the Sunday school teacher in Old Testament, Pentateuch. And also in Paul's time, in Romans law or rules, this all forbidden, not for people to have sexual relationship with the stepmom. Even the pagan, the Gentile, is not allowed to do it. So Paul is so frustrated. Even Gentile, the pagan, do not allow to allow this kind of sin. Why the church allow this kind of sin or sinner in the church and didn't do anything or didn't say anything? It's Paul's concern. Why this kind of sin is allowed in the church? Verse 2. I think one of the key points or man or mindset of this church is they're so proud of themselves. Even the key reason God Paul write chapter 5 to this church. He spent a lot of time not condemn the sinner, but remind the whole church why you didn't say anything, why you didn't do anything about this sinner and also the sin. Why there's no discipline? Why? Where's the leader? Where's the congregation? Where are you when people commit a serious sin? So Paul start to help the church understand the seriousness of the sin and also help the sinner to restore and also help the church to keep the holiness. We may guess why the church do not do anything about this sin. Yes. One of the reasons maybe we can guess from the scripture, maybe they are free of normal moral constraint. They are free. They can do anything as they wish. In chapter 6, 12, Paul talked to this church and said, you say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Keep going, even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Paul keep using what they call in the church or one of their slogan, you know, I am allowed to do anything, you know. I love freedom. I'm freedom in Christ. So they keep saying that I am allowed to do anything. Paul using their code or one of their famous code in this letter. Are you? Are you free to allow to do anything in the church? Are you? Really? Chapter 10, verse 23. He keeps saying, you say, I am allowed to do anything again, and then I am allowed to do anything. But Paul remind them, it is really a freedom in the church, in Christ, even there's a sin among you. Another perspective to see the church problem. They're so proud of them. Chapter 3, verse 21, another pastor talked about this before. They compare different pastor and leader. They evaluate pastor. They think they are more superior and give the mark to different pastor and have different ranking. Chapter 4, verse 6. And then Paul also mentioned, if you pay attention to what I have called from the scripture, you won't be proud of one of your leader and the expense of and another. They think they're more superior, even superior than Paul and other pastors. Paul challenged them, "Are you really?" Keep going. Sorry. Chapter 4, verse 8 and also 18. Paul challenged them. They think they have everything. You think you have already have everything you need. You think you are already rich. You have begun to race in Christ, in God's kingdom without us. Paul challenged them and criticized them. Are you have everything? Even without the pastor, without Paul, without any other leader, they can do whatever they want. Paul keep mentioning this in this book and remind them one of their main problems. They think they have everything. They think they are more superior. They're so proud of their freedom in Christ. They can do, they are allowed to do everything as they wish. I mean, one of the problems in the church, and also including us, sometimes when we talk about church discipline, people we challenge us or challenge you. We are all sinners, right? You are a sinner, I'm a sinner. Who are you? Who gives you the right to condemn you or condemn other people? We are sinners, I'm a sinner, right? Maybe some of the argument in the church, we are all sinners, so nobody can condemn anyone. But Paul remind them, it is for the sake of the sinner, to restore him, help him to get rid of the sin and the sinful behavior, to help him. Go back to chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Let's read together. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in the spirit. In verse 5, Paul mentioned the very serious step, how to excommunicate the people, and so that his soul will be restored. So the key point is not about punish the sinner, but about the sinful nature. About the sinful nature, how to destroy the sinful nature of the sinner. Help him so that he can be saved in the days of the Lord when he will come. And when he turned, so Paul keep focused on helping the sinner. He not just condemn the sinner. Say you are a sinner, so get out from the church. No, the key point is he always want to help the sinner. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, actually he mentioned that this sinner repent. So in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, Paul asked the whole church to accept him. So he's a sinner. But here's a question. When he repent, Paul write the letter to the whole church, accept him again, restore him again. It is what the pastor and also Paul do that. Not just condemn the people, but the key point is, the goal is restore him, help him to get rid of the sinful nature. When he be restored, he can serve in the church again. Help him, accept him again. So when we talk about the spiritual pride, or what they proud of, also remind all of us, including me, maybe the longer we stay in the church, maybe we think we are somebody. We criticize other people. We think, you know, maybe we can go through all the temptation but without commit any sin. Maybe in Paul's situation, he challenged the whole church. Little sin can affect everyone. This is the next section he wants to deal with. Don't be so proud of your spiritual situation. Pride can destroy you. Always be humble. Humble. And also pay attention to all the temptation as a church, and also as a church leader. The second point, Paul mentioned why the church discipline is so important. It is for the good of the church. from verse 6 to 8. 6 to 8. Let's read together, verse 6 to 7. You're boasting about this terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole branch of dough? Get rid of the old. Then you will be like a fresh. This is what they daily facing situation. When they make it, or baking, or in the family, or your mom will do it. A little yeast can affect everything. He used this illustration and a daily life example. Don't let any sin to destroy you. Don't let any small sin to destroy the whole church. It is Paul really concerned. A small thing can destroy the whole things. You don't know what's going on. Paul, I need your help. Yes, a small thing can affect the whole thing. In Paul's time or in today's time, we know this very clearly, right? A small yes can affect the whole dough. Increase from a small amount and create the whole dough. So everything will affect it. And also in Paul's time, they know that yes, all symbolized the sin. So Paul mentioned this illustration to remind the church, don't let any small sin, maybe very insignificant or invisible, but it takes effect in the church and also in your life. If today Paul will use another illustration about discipline, about parenting. There's two differences about parenting or discipline. They call formative. For example, when you practice piano or learn something or Chinese language, you need discipline, right? The formative. But another thing is corrective. When you are a Sunday school teacher or you are as a parent, when your kids or some children, they do something wrong, you need some method to correct them. For example, time out, right? We use it quite often. Time out or do something. Help he or she to know that this is something he need to correct. But the goal is not for the parents, but always the good of the child. Always for the good of the child. It is also the same principle in the church discipline. Not for the sake of the pastor, but Paul mentioned this for the sake of the church. Help the church realize the problem, facing the problem. Don't let any sin destroy the church and destroy their ministry. And the last one, from verse 9 to 13. Why we need church discipline? Because it is for the glory of God, reflecting His God holiness, His holiness, His holiness. From verse 9 to 10, we talk about another letter Paul wrote to this church. They get a misunderstanding. They said Paul may ask them to separate all the sinners in the world. But Paul didn't have this kind of idea or saying. He correct them and say that we live in this world. We must live with all the sinners. It is our ministry field. So Paul is talking about we need to serve the sinner outside the church. But Paul wants to clarify, we need to deal with the sinner inside the church. And that's the problem. And that's something they need to face. Some people misunderstood Paul. They said we need to separate all the sinners. We don't deal with them, especially the people outside the church. They are homosexual or they get drunk or whatever. We need to separate from them. But Paul said, no. The people outside the church, I know that they are sinners, but we are not separate from them. We serve them. We serve them. So Paul keep mentioning about the key point in chapter 5. It is the believer. They are believer. When they commit sexual sin or a lot of sin or worship idol, it is something we need to deal with. Help them. to get rid of the sin and destroy the sinful nature. Just like the video I saw at the beginning of the verse of the sermon, many people outside the church, they think we just say something against or condemn other people, but we do nothing in our life. We just condemn the people. But how's our life? Hypocrite. The people label the Christian or label the church. So Paul keep mention again, we don't condemn the people outside the church, but we need to make sure we as a Christian make sure we keep the holiness that reflect God's glory. Verse 12 to 13, and two comparison: outsider, insider, insider, outsider. Keep mentioning two kind of people. God will deal with the people outside the church. We don't need to condemn them. It is God's work. He will do something. We just love them and serve them. But for people inside the church, when people commit sin, we need to facing the challenge, facing the problem, and help the sinner to get rid of the sin. It is our responsibility. Of course, nobody likes the discipline. Nobody likes church excommunication. But if God protect the church and use the church in the world to reflect His glory and to be His witness, we need to keep the church holiness to reflect His glory. All of us, when people come to the church and find, wow, all of the people in the church are sinner. No, we talk about grace, but never get rid of our sin or sinful behavior. What do you think about the church, gospel, and grace? So Paul, using an idea about boundary, God has set certain boundary to mark out His people as His own. God, holiness, separate for God. For the church, we need to maintain this boundary by disciplining a man or this church who involve a sexual immorality. Keep the boundary. Maintain the boundary. Not only for the church, but also in our life. Don't let any sin to destroy your ministry. Don't let any sin destroy your spiritual life. Keep the boundary. God saved you and set you a holiness to reflect His glory. I hope that when the people in this community talk about PG, I don't want to hear they said the people in this church hypocrite, only condemn people. They only say something but never do anything in their life. So let me recall the message today. Why we do the church discipline is for a sinner, to restoration, for the church, and also for the glory of God. Nobody like church discipline or excommunication, but for the sake of the sinner, for the church, and for the glory of God. Let's facing the challenge, facing the sin together. Don't let any sin destroy our church, destroy your ministry. Keep it pure, keep it holy, and reflect His glory, and bring glory to God. And also, and the last thing I would like to recall is some people misunderstood Paul's teaching. They said we need to separate from all the sinner. Actually, Paul didn't say that. We shouldn't disassociate with all the people in this world. It is our mission field. We need to love the people in this community. We need to love the people outside the church. So at the end of my message, I would like to show you some PowerPoint. Pacific Grace Mission Chapel. This chapel, they started the ministry in 1950, almost 60 years before, by Henry Carson as a missionary. Before they have the church building, before they buy the church building, do you know where did they serve? For the first 12 to 14 years, they served on the street. They served the street people. It is our old PG building, almost 60 years before. They served in the street, they worship on the street. They served the lower income family. They served the homeless people. Keep moving. It's a pastor. Prepare the breakfast for the homeless people. Help the homeless people. Even provide a shower. In the church, laundry. Right? A lot of things. Prayer. It's what they did in the previous years. So I have to share another vision for you, for whole congregation. Keep going. Yes. In December, in last December, we have a Christmas community Christmas dinner. Thank you, Lord. We have 220 people come and enjoy the Christmas dinner. Most of them from this community. Most of them not our Chinese people. They are First Nation people. Some of them are Muslim. Some of them are new immigrants from mainland China. 220 people come and enjoy the dinner and the turkey. And they feel warm and welcome from our church. So it is the program we partnership with Vancouver Urban Ministry. I think the pastor have come to share among you at the end of the year, right, in the sermon, Pastor James. So he approached me and think about the future partnership, about PG and the VMC, Vancouver Urban Ministry. I think it is very exciting opportunity for us. Think about in the coming 10 years, what kind of people do you want to sit with you in the worship? Vancouver Urban Ministry is only an organization. It's not a church. Right now they have 40 to 50 people they would love to gather every month. But nowhere. Because it is not a church. When people accept Jesus Christ, there's no church to go. If they ask, is it possible to gather in a church once time or twice time per month in this building? I bring up this opportunity and proposal to Deacon Board and ask them to consider. And also, I promise I will share this vision and opportunity to English congregation. Think about in the coming 10 years, what kind of people you want to see sit beside you, behind you? What kind of children you want to see in our Awana and Children's Sunday School? Not only my kids, not only the deacon's kids or children. To have a dream to serve this community, to embrace the lower income family in this community, so they can join this church to worship God together. It's up to you. Feel free to share opinion or passion with Lauren or me. We may not do it. We may not do it this year. But it is one of the opportunities we are facing now. They have 50 to 60 people. No place to gather every month. There's no church except them. Are we willing to accept them? Help them to know Jesus. Help them to worship with us in this church. So pray for this. Paul and God also mentioned that we hate sin, but we love sinner. We won't disassociate with the sinner. We love them. When we talk about our mission and vision statement of the church, how do we embrace this community? I put this challenge and opportunity to the congregation. Let's know, especially when we're searching the English pastor right now. Help us to find how to fulfill God's calling in this congregation. Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, you give us so many blessings in Christ, and also you give us a beautiful church building so we can worship you wholeheartedly, so we can serve the community. Thank you, Lord. Help us to facing the sinful nature, not only ourselves, but also for other people. Help them to restore the relationship with you and also with other people. So we can be a good witness as a holy community to reflect your glory. God, we put our future coming challenge and opportunity in front of you, in front of us. Help us to see your hands. Help us to see your guidance. God, help us to fulfill the calling you put in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand. We have practiced the communion. Through communion, we worship God together. Deacon, come forward. Yeah.